Let's take our Bibles and turn to Samuel this morning, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Let's look this morning when good people receive bad news. Look in Bible chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Ziklag was David's home. This is where his family lived. This is where his children lived. This is where his people were. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been at a place in your life where you were greatly distressed? Where some kind of news that you received or some thing that you went through in your life caused you to be greatly distressed. Listen to this. For the people spake of stoning him. I wonder in this moment of time, in these verses right here, if David didn't have a thought like this. It can't get any worse than this. David comes home. The city's burned. His wife's been taken. His children's been taken. He may have thought, man, it just can't get any worse than this. And then his own people turn on him, and they speak of stoning him. I tell you what, I don't care where you are. It could always be worse. And you won't have to look far, beloved, to see somebody that's going through something worse than you are. Look at it with me here. The Bible said David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But that's that hinge on that door pastor's told you about for 9 years in the Bible. But, oh boy, it's dark, it's bad. He's greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. That word carries with it the meaning of strengthened. David was weak, but he strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, need to remember these two words, recover all. Recover all. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God this morning. And Lord, I do pray this morning, our Father, that you'd bless the Word of God as it goes forth. And Lord, I realize that there are people here today that do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life. I realize there are people here today, Lord, who are going through things, our Father, that are not easy to go through in this walk of life. And I pray, God, that when we receive bad news, Lord, some of these truths that are painted in the Word of God would come back, and Lord, we'd be reminded, our Father, of your goodness. Lord, you're good even in the valley. It doesn't matter how dark the valley is, our God, you're still good. It doesn't matter how deep the valley is, Lord, you're still good. It doesn't matter how long the valley is, Lord, you're still good. Truly, our fathers, the songwriter said, you are God on the mountain, but you're still God in the valley. I pray, dear Father, today that you'd help us to glean something that will help us along the way. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to share with you some things today out of this text that I hope and I pray will be a blessing to you. First thing I want to look at is David's distress. He was mentally disappointed. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? If you look at the previous chapter, David is a soldier. And David wanted to go down and fight. Now listen to me. Not fight the Philistines, but fight alongside, fight with on the same side as the Philistines. David was a soldier. He was a warrior. His men were warriors. And that's something that they enjoyed doing, was fighting and whooping up on the enemy. But in the providence of God, God would not allow it to happen, because David would have ended up fighting with the Philistines against Israel. But the providential hand of God kept that from happening. I'll tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. We can all get in our hearts at times. Beloved, there's something we want to do. There's something we want to accomplish. There's somewhere we'd like to be. And sometimes, listen to me carefully, in the providential hand of God, He's helping us by not allowing that in our lives. Amen. My wife said this morning, there was a guy pulling a camper. He thought he was pulling two 18-wheelers on Carter's Valley. I never seen a fella. I mean, I know he wasn't drunk. It's Sunday morning. But he took up the whole road. When he got ready to go around the curve, I mean, he's way over in the other guy's lane. I said, Miss Eve, he don't know what he's doing. Amen. And Miss Eve said to me, he said, well, maybe you can get around him down here at the store. I said, I thought that 10 minutes ago. I mean, I was following him at 25 miles an hour down Carter's Valley. And Miss Eve, don't you hate spiritual wives? I mean, tell you, she looked over at me and you just said, God might be keeping you out of a wreck. God might be trying to teach you some patience. Amen. Well, I need to learn some, but I also need to get to church. Amen. Had a bunch of youngins here waiting on me. Amen. But anyway, down there at the store, he pulled over there to stop and, you know, look to the right and look to the left. And I went through the store parking lot and went around him. Amen. There down there at the forks of the road. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? It is true. Sometimes God hinders us along the way that He might help us in the long term. David was mentally disappointed. He wanted to fight, but he wasn't allowed. Let me say this. David was physically depleted. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? According to the distance here, they had to cover about 75 miles in 3 days. So they've marched at 25 miles a day. I don't know about you, but I believe that'd be tougher than a week of Bible school. Amen? And so mentally, he's disappointed. Physically, his strength is gone, and he's depleted. He's marched for 3 days, 25 miles a day. And then emotionally, he is disturbed. You say, Pastor, let me just give you some things this morning. He saw the smoke, but you know what? He realized real quickly. How many's ever seen from a distance a house that's on fire? I'm telling you, beloved, the smoke, the black, just boils up. You know that it's not a campfire. You know that it's not somebody cooking dinner. Amen. You know something's wrong. I have seen a few brush fires that appeared like that because somebody had the bright idea of putting four or five tires in them. Amen. And burning a brush pile. But I'm telling you, beloved, David knew when he saw that the city was on fire, he knew that something's bad wrong. I was thinking about this as I was preparing to preach. David is emotionally disturbed. He knew, beloved, listen, instantly that there was something wrong. And then as he gets closer, he knows there's something else wrong. His wife and his children are gone. He's going to get some bad news. Years ago, it was 2017 in January, I believe, Bob and Charity were living with us at the time. And years ago, I left the home that day at 1 o'clock. My wife and Bob got back in about the same time, about 5 o'clock. And our home had been robbed. I mean, they just took whatever they wanted to. I think the total was about $27,000 worth of stuff. There was Miss Eve's jewelry that her mom had given her, and I'd given her, her grandmother given her, coins that Miss Eve had saved up, guns, cameras, computers. I mean, I cannot describe to you, Brother Steve, the feeling in my chest, I was just so disoriented for a few minutes and so sick at my stomach, amen, that somebody would violate us that way. But listen to me. As I studied this, Brother Ralph, I began to think about this. When I got home, by the time I got home, the law was there and they were doing their report and all of that, and that's what they're supposed to do. But I'm telling you, you want to magnify that times 10,000? Suppose I came home and they had my wife. Suppose, Sister Mary, they had my grandbabies. Suppose they had my children. Suppose they had a Charity and Miss Eve and Olivia and Amelia and Ava. So I'm telling you, beloved, listen, what I felt that day as I studied this, God said, you can magnify that times 10,000. That's what was going on in David's gut when he comes back and his home is burned. It's bad news. What are you going to do? David is a man after God's own heart. But what are you going to do when you get that kind of news? God's people, good people, get bad news. We see David's distress. Second thing I want you to see in the message is David's decision. You say, Pastor, what did David decide to do? In verse number 6, he's greatly distressed. In verse number 7, David, in verse number 6, the end of it, David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? How did he do that? Well, in the Old Testament economy, the priest had something called the ephod, and it was a garment that he wore on his breast. And then there would be a breastplate, and then in that there would be what they called the Urim and the Thummim. And when they needed an answer from God, they would pull that out. It would be a yes or it would be a no. They would ask a question that you would answer with yes or no. And anyway, David, you say, Pastor, I don't know why David would be looking, because that's the way in the Old Testament they were instructed to look. God has given us a Bible. We're not looking for the Urim and the Thummim. Say amen. We're not looking for a priest on earth. We've got a high priest sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. And the Bible said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But there was no one else to turn to. David could not even turn to his own men because they had turned on him and they had spake of stoning him. Have you noticed lately in politics? I believe, listen, if Putin would have been alive in David's day, he would have said, it's Putin's fault. Amen. You'll get that after a while, and you're welcome. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, David didn't have any men to turn to. He didn't have his family to turn to. And listen to me, that's not always a bad place to be in, because sometimes God wants us to just turn our eyes towards heaven and our hearts toward Him and get an answer that only He can give. And God is going to answer David. He needs an answer. He needed direction. He needed to know which way to go. Now I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. You better learn this. You better learn it quickly. The decisions that you make don't just affect you. Our young people that sat in this class over here all this week and other classes throughout this, listen, the decisions that they're making right now is not just about them. It's not going to affect them. Beloved, just them. It's going to affect others. And the decisions that we make as adults is not just going to affect us. It's going to affect others. He needed an answer. He needed direction. And he, my friend, the Old Testament way for God's people to get orders from headquarters was to look, amen, to the priest. But God wants us to get our orders from headquarters by looking into this book. When you, my friend, listen to me. Some people, listen, it's dangerous to make major decisions in your life with a broken decision maker. David was a man of war. David could have stuck his chest out and said, which way did they go? But David, beloved, had humbled himself before God and said, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? And instantly, beloved, God said, pursue! You're going to recover all, amen. God gave David an answer in that moment of time. So many turn from the Lord in times of distress. But David is an example here of what it means to turn to the Lord in times of distress. I thought about Brother Larry and Sister Jane last night. It was about 1:30 in the morning. Them three boys had gone fishing. And beloved, their world was turned upside down in just a moment. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, your world and my world before this day is over and the sun goes down can be turned upside down. I thought about what you told me a while ago. I'm not going to mention it, Brother Steve, but that could have been so much worse. So much worse. So much worse. than it was. And I thank God that it wasn't worse. Amen. But we don't need to be distressed. We just need to come and bring it to the Lord. Amen. And let God help us. I read this and I thought it was good. Elizabeth Elliot tells of two adventurers who stopped by to see her, all loaded with equipment for the rainforest east of the Andes. And they sought no advice, just a few phrases to converse with the Indians. She writes, "Sometimes we come to God, as the two adventurers came to me, confident, and we think well-informed and well-equipped. But has it occurred to us that with all of our accumulation of stuff, something is missing?" She suggests that we often ask God for too little. We know what we need, a yes or a no answer, please, to a simple question, or perhaps a road sign, something quick and easy to point the way. What we really ought to have is the guide himself. If we're not careful, beloved, listen, we wait until we get in a pinch and we want some guidance. I'll tell you what will help. Just walk with the guide every day of your life. May he be, my friend, listen, the center in your life every day. And when that distress comes, it'll be easy to look to him and to lean on him for direction. Maps and road signs and a few useful phrases are things, but infinitely better is someone who has been there before and knows the way. Hallelujah, we have a Savior this morning that's already been there and he knows the way. Years ago, I was seeking direction from God. At the same time, I was memorizing Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here, this is walking with the guy. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And God stopped me right here. Verse number 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's underlined in my Bible. God said, I know the way. The Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way. I didn't know the way, but I served a God that knew the way. And he still knows the way. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Anybody that's ever been involved in ministry, when there comes a time for a ministry change, I tell you, people that are serious about the things of God, they don't want to go their own way. They want to go God's way. And they want to know the will of God in their lives and how precious that is. We see David's distress. We see David's decision. But then we see David's determination. Let me just wrap this up in a word or two and I'll move on to the last thing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean you see his determination? If you'll read the story this afternoon, I won't read it all, but if you'll read the story, he got orders. Let me just say this. A lot of people get orders. A lot of people know what God wants them to do, but they don't do it. David got orders. He got an answer to his prayer, and then he got up and he pursued, just like God wanted him to do. Amen. David didn't get up and call a prayer meeting. David didn't get up and vote on something. David got up and he pursued. God said, pursue and you'll overtake them. Amen. I believe that's important. Amen. I tell you, beloved, listen, I've said it jokingly in the Bible. Sometimes, you know, the Bible, Philip over there in Acts chapter 8, the Spirit of God said, arise and go into the desert, in that place called Gaza. And the Word of God said, he arose and went. I said, he couldn't have been a Baptist. If he had been a Baptist, he'd say, arise and go. Let me pray about that. Say amen. We need some people when God said, arise and go. Get up and go. That's what David did. Amen. David was instant to obey the known will of God for his life. He runs to the Lord. He don't run from him. When good people get bad news, beloved, listen, we need to come and run to him. Determine whatever he says. You know, a lot of people, they've made too much out of Mary. A lot of people don't make enough out of Mary. Say amen. I'm talking about Jesus' mother. She was a good woman, but she was a virgin. And when you want to replace, beloved, listen, the word virgin in the Word of God with the word young woman, then you're taken away from the truth that God wants us to get. He was not born of the seed of a man, but he was born, beloved, of a virgin. That's what the Word of God said. God was his father. But some make too much of Mary. I'll tell you what, Mary did give some good advice. Down there at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, they ran out of wine. You know what she said? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's good advice. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. Whatever God said, we ought to just do it. That's good advice. Amen. David's determination. Then I want to show you David's delight. The Word of God said here, if you'll fall down with me here, come down. David smote them, verse number 17, from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, except or save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Let me ask you something. Can you get that picture in your mind? Can you get that picture in your mind? Listen, David was greatly distressed. How many knows his wives had to have been greatly distressed? His children had to have been. I wonder how much my wife, my children, my grandchildren, how glad they would be to see me and to know. Could have been that Abigail said to some of the children, your daddy will find out where we're at. Your daddy's a man of war. Could have been they would have said, young'uns, we don't even know if daddy's living. We need to trust God. I don't know how it went, but I know this. There was a jubilee. When they got back together, there was worship. There was praise. Amen. I know that they were thankful. I know they hugged each other. Listen to me. Every man in this building, when you hug your wife in the morning and you kiss her, you ought to hug her and kiss her like it might be the last time you ever get to hug her and kiss her, because you can leave for work and never come home. She can leave for the grocery store and never come home. I tell you, we should never take one another's presence for granted. Amen. Especially in this wicked world that we live in. David's delight. You say, Pastor, you believe David delighted when he recovered his wives? I do. I believe he might have been singing, Brother Junior, it was worth it all. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with us? Let me just give you something real quickly. You know what the devil took in the garden when man was plunged under the curse of sin? Can I tell you something about Jesus? He's already took the keys of death and hell away from him. But honey, he's going to recover it all. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You and I will not have this flesh to contend with anymore. We'll never think a bad thought. We'll never do a bad deed. But we will be like Jesus when he recovers all. And that's a blessing to me. We're going to delight in that. Amen. You know, I was talking to Brother Houston out at the shelter last week, and we were watching everybody eat and fellowship together. I said, Brother Houston, I said, a lot of churches won't do this because they read a text over there in the Bible that, have you not houses to eat in? Paul did say that. But you ought to read things in their context. You know what was going on? One was eating before another, and some were doing without. And I'll tell you this, your pastor will stand here. If we ever have hot dogs and there's somebody out there that can't have one, or pizza and somebody can't have a piece, or they somebody thinks they deserve two pieces while somebody else has got none, we'll go to the house.
Amen.
We love one another. There's nothing wrong with getting together and fellowshipping, amen, if it's done in the right way. And I thank God I pastor a bunch of people that would give their own to somebody else before they'd let them go without and go hungry. Amen. But I'll tell you, you say, Pastor, how do you know fellowship is sweet? Well, we're going to get done. Brother Grizzle, I'll never forget what you told me one day. You said, Pastor, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. But you know, when we get done, I'm looking forward to that, Brother Grizzle. We're going ahead for the marriage supper. You want to know what God thinks about sitting down having a meal together and fellowshipping together? Meet me at the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. And we will delight in God's presence. Delight in God's people. Delighted in the recovery. Jesus is going to recover all. Then let me give you this. He delighted in mercy. David was not always merciful. There are times when David would go in and he didn't even show the children or the women any mercy. He'd kill them all. But let me give you this. I see it in two places in this text. Number one, he was merciful to the Egyptian. He runs into this Egyptian and the Egyptian is going to give him direction as to where the wives have been taken, to where the Amalekites have taken them. And they're down there at the camp and they're rejoicing. And I was reading that this morning, Brother Steve. There's a lot of people in this world today. They're partying it up. They're rejoicing, brother. They think they've got this thing won. Amen. Listen, they've made a religion out of the Green New Deal. You know what I'm talking about. They think finally we get that gas up there $10 a gallon, we'll finally choke them people out. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, God's people aren't going to be choked out. We're going to be choked up. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going home to be with Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, this world can have it. They think they're winning down there among the camp of the Amalekites. They forgot about something. They forgot about a man named David. And I'll tell you something else they forgot about. They forgot about a man named David's God. I'm going to tell you something right now. They might have could have handled David, but they couldn't handle David's God. He went down there and he whooped up on them. You say, how else do you see God's mercy in David's delight here? He delighted in mercy, not only with the Egyptian, but if you'll read it with me, go down with me to verse number 21. And David came to the 200 men which were faint. So faint that they could not follow David. If you'll study this, there's 600 of them. So one-third cannot go across the river. You see, a lot of people, you know, they turn around and say, what's the matter with you, you bunch of wimps? Let me tell you something, beloved. One of our ladies told me this morning that she didn't choose to leave the shelter. She had to. Her health wouldn't allow her just to stay and go on. She had already been here on her feet all week, but she had to leave. Listen, these men are not choosing to lay down on David. Brother Steve, they're out of gas. I'm telling you, they can't go another step. And David understood that. Watch what the Bible said here. David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, look what the Word of God said. This is not the people saluting. Get a hold of this. The people are not saluting David, but David is saluting those 200 men.
Amen.
I'm going to show you why in just a minute.
Amen.
I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why it's important. David has mercy on them. David is going to share the spoil with them. Look at it here with me. And the Word of God said here, he saluted them, then answered all the wicked men. They're in the crowd, ain't they? There's always somebody in the crowd. When there's somebody wanting to be merciful, there's always somebody wanting to be unmerciful. Watch what the Word of God said. Then answered all the wicked men of Belial, those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. You didn't go with us, you ain't getting nothing. That's what they're saying. But watch this. Watch David. And David said, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. Yeah, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, why is that important? David realized, beloved, it wasn't what he had took. It was what God had given him. Let me tell you something this morning. Everything you have, God gave it to you. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has given us these precious gifts. Watch this now. He said, David said, you shall not do so. That which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? David said, 400 of you went with me. God gave the victory. God gave us this stuff. Listen, this stuff, if you can read on in the chapter and read the last part, it went further than those 200 men. They took enough stuff, brother. It was going to this city and that city. It was going to the people of Israel everywhere. David was sharing what God had given him. But I want you to see this truth. I told a lady in our church today, I said, honey, you couldn't be here this week at Bible school. You couldn't climb a ladder. You couldn't stand on your feet all week. But I know this woman, and I know she's a praying woman. She's praying for pastor. She's praying for the teachers. She's praying for the kids. You never saw her on this property. But you know what I want to do this morning? I want to salute everybody. That though you couldn't be on the property, though you couldn't be here helping, you were begging God to help us. You know what you did? You stayed by the stuff. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a truth right there. I had a young lady one time stand up in a church and she said, if you don't serve in the bus ministry, you don't even know what it is to serve God. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I looked at her and I said, honey, you don't buy the tires. You don't buy the insurance. You don't put the gas in it. I said, we're in this as a body of Christ. Amen. There ain't no big eyes and little U's. That goes from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. God said, can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? Honey, the quicker we figure this out, the better off we'll be. We need each other. Amen. And David said, it ain't going to happen that way. Some went on to battle. Some stayed by the stuff. And God wasn't going to make a difference. Amen. When good people, how many can see this as a wonderful outcome? Amen. Let me say this to you this morning. For God's people, you may be in a dark place today, but I promise you, if you're one of His children, there's going to be a wonderful outcome. As David that day was reunited with his wife, wives, two of them. God bless him. Y'all done went to sleep on me now. Amen. And his children. I can't imagine, Brother Preston, if you even went a few hours thinking the enemy had your babies and your wife, how precious it would be when you was able to hold her again. Hold your children again. How precious it would be. Can I tell you there's a more precious moment coming in 9 years? This one and 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 this one has graduated on home. But I've not hugged their neck the last time. Oh, it's going to be good. I said it's going to be good. Don't get discouraged. Don't be distressed. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Beloved, listen. The answer's not in the White House. The answer's in God's house. The answer's not in politics. The answer's in the power of Jesus Christ in the lives of His children. How many's glad you come this morning? How many's glad you stayed till this afternoon? Amen. Amen. Miss Donna, I like that grin. Amen. That blessed me. Love you. God wants to help us. I said, God wants to help us. Our Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. The privilege, Lord, just look in the Word of God a few minutes and see, our Father, how you helped David, how you helped his family. And God, you're no respecter of persons. You want to help us. You want to help our families. Lord, today, we're not looking for the breastplate or the Urim and the Ephod and the Thummim, but dear God, we're looking unto Thee. Would You direct our paths? Would You help us? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.